Okay, well, I guess I'll hop right into it. I'm a little nervous today, but I'm glad to see you, and I just want to share something that's kind of been on my heart. Something that I struggle with sometimes is sometimes I feel like God doesn't like me all that much. Has anyone ever felt that way before? Good, I'm not alone, because I often wonder if God really likes me. I know that I'm his son, and he's my father, that he's made me his son. But sometimes I feel like I'm not a very good son, because what does a son do? A son is supposed to reflect and kind of be an image of the father. And sometimes it's very obvious that I'm not reflecting the face of God very well. Sometimes I feel like when I'm praying and I'm calling out to the Lord, he doesn't answer right away, or it doesn't seem like he answers at all. And other times I feel inadequate in ministry. You know, I've always thought that, you know, it'll be easier to minister someday, which is kind of a funny sounding word, but I always thought it would be easier to minister someday. So I went to Bible college and I got the equivalent of a bachelor's at Bible college. And afterwards I thought, I still don't feel adequate to minister. Still not comfortable with it. And then I thought, well, I'm going to get married, and life is solved after you get married, so I'll be fine after I get married. So I married Whitney, and it was wonderful. I felt great, but I didn't feel adequate to minister or to preach. And then the last one was, well, I'm married, I don't feel adequate, but Whitney's pregnant, we're going to have a son, then I'll be adequate, because then I'll be a father and I'll be experienced. And I still don't feel adequate. So I'm maybe two kids or three kids. I don't know what will do it, but I'm thinking that nothing will ever make me feel adequate to be a good son of God and to be a good minister. And I think we all feel like that sometimes. Do you ever feel like you're not exactly cut out to be a Christian? Like, maybe this is a little bit too much. You know, being a Christian, it's like there's so many things. You've got this whole book that you to that's the Word of God. Can you hear me all right? Okay. All right. Just making sure. You've got this whole book that's the Word of God, and you want to be, you know, you want to know it well, but sometimes being a Christian is so overwhelming. There seems like there's so much to think about. Seems like there's so much to know. And how are we possibly going to be able to know and understand it all? Does anyone ever feel like they're not cut out to be a Christian? Like, or maybe that you're not cut out just for ministry in the church. Like, yeah, I'll be a Christian, but I don't really want to minister to people or talk to people, because that's, you know, I don't, it's, there's so much to think about, and I'm not quite there, I don't think. I don't think I reflect my father good enough to do that. Am I alone? Please say I'm not alone. Please talk to me. I know my dad is always prodding you to talk to him, and when he does, I think, oh, don't do that. Just leave him alone. But I'm here, and I'm going to prod you and ask you to respond, because it'll make me feel better. Sometimes we think, or I think, that maybe this Christian walk is a little bit too much. It's a little bit too much to think about. Sometimes we think it's a lot of rules, do this and don't do that, and think this and don't think that. And it just makes me want to say sometimes, can't I just simply live my life? Can't I just get through this life and live it? Does anyone ever feel like that? I feel like that. Can't I just live my life? But the answer to that question is yes. God said that living a life is exactly what he wants you to be able to do. He wants you to live a real life, which is his life. Let me tell you quickly a short story. I'll put a long story into a short sentence. A long time ago, God created humankind. He created us to be his children, to love him. He created us in a beautiful garden full of good food. He provided for us. He met our every need. He kept us healthy. He protected us. But for some reason, we, humankind, rejected him. You know the story. Everyone does. We didn't trust him quite all the way. We thought that we knew what was best and that God was wrong. So we ran away. He was our father, but we ran away from him. We listened to the devil instead. And as a result of that, the devil became our father. We wanted independence, and the devil promised it to us, and it was a lie. We became slaves of our new father, the devil. We went to go live with him, but he taught us all the wrong things. Are you with me? The devil became our new father, and he taught us every wrong thing. He taught us how to steal. He taught us how to kill. He taught us how to mock and to worry. He introduced fear into our lives and scorn. He taught us how to be failures, how to hate people, how to commit adultery, how to worship ourselves instead of God. He taught us how to cuss, drink, beat people, be doubtful, be cynical. He taught us every wrong thing. We were pulled out of every good thing and under a new father that we were trapped with. He taught us basically how to die slowly and painfully. And we were, and some still are, trapped in this death process. So what do you do when you're trapped in a process like that? Well, you try to better yourself, right? You try to say, I'm not all that bad. I can be good. I don't have to be awful like the devil has made me. But when we tried that, the more we tried it, the more we realized how we failed. We knew that we needed to go back to our Heavenly Father, but there was no way for us to escape this new house that we were in because we were chained up to it. But then, of course, you know the story. God came to the rescue, and he adopted us back into his family. That's in Romans. You know, adoption is never cheap. How many people have adopted somebody? I know that a lot of people in the second service as well have adopted people, and it's not cheap. It's a hard and expensive process, and it's the same way that it was for God. He adopted us, and it cost him his son. But he paid the price, as the song we were singing today. And he made it possible to where all we had to do was say, okay, Dad, I'll come home with you and make him our father again. But this is the kicker. When he brought us home, he had to start all over again with us. Jesus' words said, you have to be born again. Because we were taken out of this relationship, out of God's father relationship, and we were put in a relationship with the devil as our father. And so the devil taught us all these bad things, and we learned them, and that's who we became. We became sinners, this humankind, and it's happened to every one of us. So God brought us back in. He said, you can come back in, but we have to start over from the beginning. You have to be born again. You have to relearn everything. You have to unlearn things, and you have to learn things to do it my way, because I want you to grow up strong and healthy and be like me, not be like your last father, the devil. And, you know, God, I think, says, don't worry, I'll make it possible. All you've got to do is trust me and let me. But we're going to start over from the very beginning, and I'm going to teach you how to live. So if you're a Christian today, then God is your father, and he's teaching you how to live. And the good news is that he's not done being a father to us. That is the best news that I have today, is that God is not done fathering us. Okay, big surprise. Joseph's preaching about fatherhood. Who would have guessed it? I've been a dad for 2.5 months, and already I think that I know everything there is to know about fatherhood, and so I'm going to blow you all away with my extensive knowledge about how to be a father. I was really bummed that I missed Father's Day, because Augustus was born the week before, and I was going to come share with you everything I learned from a week of being a father, you know. So it's kind of no surprise that I'm preaching about fatherhood, but it's been on my mind because we have this little baby, and he's on my mind. I love Augustus. I love my son. I am rejoicing to be his dad. Whitney is rejoicing to be his mother. We're so happy to be his parents, and we cherish him. We enjoy him. I know that I will always love him, that there's nothing he can do that's going to change my love for him. So this is good news so far. God's our father. He must love us and cherish us, and nothing can separate us from his love. This is really good news. It does not even bother me that my son can't stand up right now. It doesn't bother me that I have to change his diapers. It doesn't bother me too much, at least. It doesn't bother me that he cries often, that he needs a lot of comforting, clothing, tender words, a lot of, you know, right now, he's a baby, he needs a lot of soft, easy love, you know, not hard love, he just needs some soft, you know, he screams and cries and we just say, oh, you're so cute. I love doing these things for him. I'm glad to do them because he's my son, and after all, he's just learning to live this life. And he's only at the beginning stage. And the thing about it is, though, is as we continue to teach him and he continues to grow, Whitney and I, his parents, are going to start to expect a little bit more out of him. I mean, I'm not going to change his diapers till he's 20. I hope that he's going to change in some ways. We'll expect more and more. Eventually, we'll expect him to stand and then to walk and then to run and ride bicycles. And, you know, as I've already said, he'll be potty trained or he won't live in my house. He is going to dress himself one day, and I will expect him. The other thing is I'm going to expect him to come ask me for help rather than me follow him around all of the time, seeing if he might just possibly need anything. If he can't reach the water, I'm not going to follow him all his life. I'm not going to follow him all around the house asking him if he would like something to drink. I'm going to let him come to me and ask for something to drink. But the love will still be there. It won't be quite as easy as it was before for him. It won't be quite as soft. But after all, he's my son, and I'm teaching him to learn to I'm teaching him to live this new life. And he has to learn to live this new life. And I have to make that possible for him by requiring things of him. I wouldn't be a very good father if I didn't require more of him, and he wouldn't be a very good son. He wouldn't adequately resemble his father and his mother if he didn't learn things. If he still had a pacifier when he was 18, he wouldn't, hopefully, that doesn't reflect me. For our son to be healthy, he's got to learn not only to eat milk, but to begin to eat things with more substance. Like, eventually, he's going to have to learn to eat meat. The trouble with that, of course, is that milk is great because it slides down your throat easily. You don't have to chew it. There's a seemingly endless supply, and the supply comes to you when you don't have to go anywhere. All you have to do is open your mouth and look cute, and then you're fed with milk. Meat is a little different because meat requires killing something. Meat requires gutting something. Yeah, everyone who's going to hunting season this year is all excited, like Will. Meat, you have to kill something, you have to prepare something, you have to cook something if you're going to eat meat. And so the whole process is a little bit more cumbersome, a little more trouble, but meat is what strengthens your body. Meat will make a person grow up to be strong, whereas milk will just keep someone blubbery. Amen? Have you seen my son? He's been on a strict diet of milk only for 2.5 months, and he is more than doubled his weight already. So what I'm getting at is that we have to train our children to grow up. And it's the same way with God. He's training us to grow up. If we just let Augustus do whatever he wanted, if we just fed him whenever he wanted to be fed, he would weigh 60 pounds. He wouldn't get any exercise. You know, God does the same thing with us. We become a Christian, and there's a lot of leniency at first, I believe. I won't walk by that for the feedback. I think God gives us quite a bit of leniency when we're first saved. Does anyone remember when you first got saved, how easy everything was? How every day you woke up cheerful and happy, and everything just seemed to be going so smoothly, so your way? Like, you could look outside, and if it was raining, you would say, "Oh, God is refreshing the earth." And if it was sunshiny, you would say, "Oh, God is giving the earth a sunbathe." You know, you were just so positive about everything. It drove everyone else crazy. But you could see so easily God's handiwork in everything. And it was true. He was right there, and he was showing himself to you. But for anyone who's been a Christian a little bit longer, you realize that that kind of starts to fade away, and you don't know why you want it to stay. You want that everything brand new all the time to stay, but it doesn't. At least it hasn't for me. If it stayed for somebody else, then I would like to know how you got to keep it. But sometimes it fades away. And the reason for that, I'll relate it to this. With Augustus, right now, he's a newborn, and he is just learning to breathe. He's learning the very basics of life. And Whitney and I put our face in front of him all the time. All the time. Because, you know, babies, they can't see that well. They can't track very well. They can see some movement, a little bit of color, but they can't see super great. So I can't, you know, Augustus is over there. I can't say, hey, son, I'm here with you. He's not going to know that I'm talking to him. He's not going to know that I'm right there. And so when we're babies in the Lord, I believe, puts himself right in front of us, shows us his face, makes it very obvious that he is right there with us all of the time, very close. Could you agree with me? That's what he does, and that's why it's so easy to see him. So Augustus does not have to work at all, to see Whitney's face or to see my face. All he has to do is look up, and we're right there, smiling at him. But if I want Augustus's eyes to grow strong, I'm going to have to change and not always be right there in his face. I'm going to have to back up a little bit. I'm going to have to move around so that he can track me a little bit. He's going to have to learn to follow me with his eyes. I can't just always be right there in front of him, or his vision will never be strengthened because his eyes will never be exercised. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the correlation is that God, when we're first saved, I believe he's right there with us the whole time. But I believe he's always right there with us. But he makes it a little bit more difficult for us to see him, because he doesn't want children with poor eyesight. He wants us to be able to find him, to look around the room or to look around the house and find him, because if you have poor eyesight, you are in danger all of the time. You need someone to lead you around all over the place. But if you have good eyesight, you can escape from danger. And he wants you to be able to find him. I believe that this is the walk that we're on. God is our Father, and he is going to make us children that reflect him. Not children that are 8 years old and can't see because they've never been trained to see, and can't walk because they were never put on their stomach, so they're never taught to crawl and have a pacifier in their mouth because God didn't want to take away their addiction. God wants to change us, and he wants us to make us into his image, an image that's free from addiction, an image that can walk and can run, an image that can find him, can see beauty, and can escape from danger. And so I believe that's what we're in this process with God. We have been born again, and so it starts from the beginning, but we have to grow. The Bible talks about not staying spiritual babes. The Bible talks about not only having spiritual milk, but it talks about take the meat of the word, dig into it a little bit. You have to kill something. You have to prepare it. You have to chew it, and your body has to digest it. It's not as easy, but it makes you stronger. He doesn't want us to stay babies. He wants us to reflect him. God has such an interesting and wonderful relationship with us. And I'm privileged to have a very good father that reminds me of how the Lord fathers us. And there's just a few things I want to share about how his relationship is with us. The first thing is what I've been talking about, is that he wants us to grow, basically. He wants us to grow and to learn to be like him. But there's this relationship with God the Father that is so special. Part of it is he enjoys working with us and working in us. The Bible says that God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. That means he will do what he wants. It means that. But it also means that he takes pleasure in working with you and in working in you. One of the things that pleases God is faith. Everyone knows the verse, without faith it's impossible to please God. Well, what is faith? Can anyone just say in a brief word what faith is? I'm hearing a lot of whispering, but I'm not hearing any actual words. What? Oh, that's the word I wanted. Faith is action. Faith is movement. Faith is not planning. Faith is movement. It's action. Last time I preached, I told you that I was building a front porch, a wraparound front porch that's going to wrap around the house, and I'm going to drink sweet tea on it, all for the sake of refreshing and so that I will be refreshed sitting on the front porch. And so we did. We built a front porch, and it's almost done, except for there are three boards missing on one stretch. I just haven't got around to it. And that's the only part that's not done, so I'm a little slow to do that. So I told you that I was building a front porch. Well, I've stopped building the front porch. I mean, I'll finish it sometime. And we've decided that we want to build a home instead. So we build a front porch. We can build a home. I mean, we want to go for it, you know? My dad has a lot of property, and he told us that we can pick a spot on the property and build a house, live there. Sounds pretty good. Rent-free. Well, not rent-free completely, but you got to make a land payment. But anyway, he said we could build, and so we're like, well, we might as well build a house. And so nothing has happened yet, except I'm working on it. Part of the thing that we have to do in order to build this house is we have to get a road there, because the place that we're building is going to be up in the woods. It's a beautiful spot, but the only way to get there, the easiest, maybe easiest way to get there, is to go through this marshy willow area. It's not that marshy, but the ground is pretty soft and it's wet, and having a little bit of a hard time getting through there. But we need to get through there so that we can go dig a foundation. So I need a road. And we don't, you know, we didn't have the use of a backhoe or anything. And so I was thinking that I would rent one of those little mini excavators, but I had to get the mini excavator across there. And so, because I want to build a foundation. Sorry, I know I'm rambling on and on, but it all has a point. I want to get across this marshy land to build a foundation, and the only way to do that is to make some kind of road. And one day, my dad went to town, and Whitney went to a MOPS meeting in town. This is about 2 weeks ago, and I just wanted to do something. And to be honest, you know, I was talking to my dad about it. I wanted to make my dad happy. You know, I wanted him to be impressed with how his son was a go-getter, and how his son, in one day, built a road to get through the marshlands. Well, part of the problem is I don't have a truck. But we have a Montero. It's a little SUV. And I had some scrap wood. And so I thought, I'll build a boardwalk that's big enough to hold a car and big enough to hold one of those little mini excavators. And we'll drive the mini excavator across. And then we'll get over there. And then we'll dig a foundation. It'll be great. I don't know how the well truck will get there to dig a well. And I don't know if we're going to hang trusses or not, but we'll just get across there, and then we'll worry about that later. I wanted to do something, and I really wanted to impress my dad. And so I did. I did. I got the Montero, and I drove up to where I had some wood, and I started stacking wood on top of our SUV. And it was a pretty nice vehicle. It didn't have any scratches until I decided to build a road with it. And I stacked probably 500 or 600 pounds of lumber on top of this. And the thing about the willows, such a long story, the thing about the willows is it's a real steep incline just to get down into the marshland. But I thought, oh, I'll go for it, I'll be able to get out. And so I drove up to it, and it's about that steep, with one point about that steep. And so I drove down in there with a Montero and about 600 pounds of lumber on top, and I had it strapped down, and it was good. I got down into the marshland, and I thought, build the boardwalk. And so I started unloading wood, broke my rear view mirror because one of the logs fell off and just like snapped it right off. And no big deal, you know, I'm going to have a house. Who needs a rear view mirror when you have a house? And all day long, I worked in the heat of the day, nailing together this makeshift boardwalk. And I you know, my dad was going to be home soon. I was like, I need to get this done fast. And so I did, and it was done. And it was through the marshiest spot. And I thought, I'll just get through this marshiest spot, and then we'll be over there, and my dad will be so happy, because he had no idea what I was doing. He would have told me not to do it if he would have known what I was doing. And so I drove on there, and it was about as wide as my wheelbase. And so it was a little tricky because I was making a corner. And everything was going well. I was going slow. And then one measly tire fell off the boardwalk that I made. And with one tire gone, I couldn't get off. I was completely stuck. Down a steep hill, in a mud bog, on top of a makeshift boardwalk. And I thought, ooh, boy. You know, four low, you know, burning rubber on the boardwalk, only one tire is turning. And I thought, my dad's going to have to get me out. I thought, no, I'm not even going to tell him. I'm not going to tell him. We're just going to leave the car here. We don't use it that often anyway. It's no big deal. We'll buy a new car. And I just loathed to tell my dad. I knew that I had to tell my dad because he has a skidder and he could get me out with his skidder. I knew that he could. I knew that it would be a piece of cake for him to get me out. But I just thought, oh, he's going to be so mad at me. It's going to take his time. And I called him. I said, hey, how's it going? And he said, oh, good, I'll come home soon. He said, did you do anything on your house today? I said, yeah, made a boardwalk. He said, what? And anyway, told him, knew he would be mad. But you know what? He wasn't mad at all. That whole story, just to tell you that my dad was not mad, he was just happy that I did something instead of sitting around in the house all day long, thinking about, woe is me because I haven't built a house yet. He was glad that I did something, even though it was a dumb thing to do, even though I didn't think it out. I didn't want to think it out because I knew I would talk myself out of it. He was thrilled to come and help me get out of there and to plan a better way to get in there to the house. The point is, I know that's a long story, but the point is that God is pleased when we do something. My dad was just happy that I did something, that I tried, and then I tried to do something that would impress him. I said, I wanted to impress you. And he laughed. I mean, he said, that was stupid, you know. But he was pleased. And God is pleased when we attempt to do something for him, even if we don't know how to do it, even if we don't know to do it well. It's always better to do something for him, to try to please him, than to do nothing. How many parents think that it's better, or how many parents like it when their children sit around the house all day long doing absolutely nothing because the children say, oh, I'm not good at anything. You'd rather them do something, even if they went out and got hurt a little bit, even if they went out and broke something, even if they went out and didn't do something well, they're learning to do something, and then you can show them how to do it. That's the point that I'm getting at, is that God is pleased with faith, and faith is action. God is pleased when we move towards him. And I, you know, I've rambled on, and so I don't have time to finish today, but I just want to sum up that the point of everything that I'm saying today is that God is our Father, and that he's not done fathering us. He wants us to grow in him. He wants us to grow to reflect him. He wants us to let go of bad habits. He wants us to, you know, wipe our mouth at the table and say, excuse me, and stop sucking on a pacifier. He wants us to let go of things, and it's not all at once. It's over time. Augustus uses a pacifier right now, and I don't mind. But I'm not going to let him as he gets to a certain age, because it's going to reflect badly on us, and it will reflect badly on him. He won't be, you know, I mean, who really looks that good with a pacifier in their mouth? And so God is growing us, and he's going to make us look like him, but we have to submit, and we have to let the Lord do a work in us. We have to be guided by him. And I forgot that we're having communion today. If you could go ahead and get it ready. I don't know exactly what I want to say, what more, and I left my notes a long time ago, but I'm just noticing more and more that the Father heart of God wants to see us become like him, wants to see us grow, and he's going to be there every single step of the way. Whether we try something and fail, he's going to come and get us out of our trouble. He's going to, you know, fix the problem, and he's going to bring us to him and show us, well, that was good. Next time ask me, and let me show you how to do it. And he's going to slowly take away things that we hold on to that we shouldn't be holding on to. He's going to make us look like him. And that's what I wanted to share today. I didn't say everything I wanted to say, but God is not done with us. He is going to complete a good work in us. I share one last point. What a father wants is a close relationship with his children. As seemingly successful as a child might be, the father, you can already go ahead and start passing it out. The father wants his children to be close to him. Even if they're not successful in life, even if they're not a great and wonderful preacher or a great and wonderful missionary somewhere, he wants them to be close to him and close to his heart. Jesus said in John chapter 15 to abide in me. And it's a wonderful, beautiful passage about living in God. I would love some, please. What's that? Okay. As they're passing out communion, just so you know, the round ones are not gluten-free, but if you can't take gluten, then the flat ones are gluten-free. I do want to read John chapter 15, just in closing. Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father's the husbandman. Every branch that's in me that bears not fruit, he will take away, and every branch that bears fruit, he'll purge it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you, but abide in me, and I will abide in you, because the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, and you're the branches, and he that abides in me, I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit, because without me, you can't do anything. Would you go ahead and stand up with me? The Father, our Father God, wants a close relationship with us. He wants us to abide and live with him in his presence. More than anything, I believe, he wants us to be close to him. In the book, My Utmost for His Highest, it says, the life that is rightly related to God is as natural as breathing wherever it goes. The lives that have been of most blessing to you are the ones who were unconscious of it. So when I talk about God wants to teach you how to live, he wants you to be able to quietly live without worrying, but just to live and live rightly related to him. Live in that, in his presence, in a relationship with him, because when you abide in him, everything else just comes together. The lives that did you the most good were the ones that were unconscious of it, because they were just living a life with the Father, and good fruit naturally flows out of that. Lord Jesus, we love you and thank you for being our Father. Lord, thank you for saving us from the power of the devil, who was our father, who we ran away to live with. Thank you for being victorious and adopting us back into your family. Thank you for making it possible to live a life with you, Lord. Thank you for doing a work in us. Thank you for not giving up on us, Lord. Thank you for continuing to work in us, little by little, day by day, and take us from being babies in you to being mature adults that look like you, that can have conversations with you, that can communicate you and relate to you on so many different levels, working with you and having good relationships with your other children, and mostly just living with you, living in the same house with your presence. Lord, we give you glory and thank you for all the people that are here. And Lord, we want to take this communion as a sign of what you did to pay for that adoption. Thank you for your blood, Lord Jesus, that you poured out for us. Thank you for making it possible to be your sons. The love that you gave us, that we can be called your sons. Lord, and so in remembrance of that, we want to take the cup right now in thanksgiving for what you've done. And Lord, I did this in the unusual order, but we also thank you for your body that was broken for us. Thank you for breaking it and becoming sin so that we didn't have to know sin anymore. And so, Lord, as we take this bread that signifies your body, I pray that you would just continue to work in our hearts, Lord, and to accomplish your good work in us. Thank you for this picture, and we'll take it now. All right, and Lord Jesus, we just want to close this service, and I pray that that you would make your word stick in our hearts, Lord Jesus, that you would show us more of who you are as our Father, and that you would clearly lead us and guide us. Lord, I pray that as we go into the week, that we would ask you if there's any habits that we have or any problems that we have, anything that's hindering us from reflecting you well, pray that you would help us, help wean us off of them, Lord, and stop them. And what we can do, Lord, to be a better picture of you, pray that you would help us to step out in faith, Lord, as well, and to go forward with you and to just do action that will please you. Lord, more than anything, pray that you would help us to abide in you and become fruitful in you as we live a quiet life on purpose with you, Lord. Thank you again, and I just pray that you would bless everyone as they go home today and give them a great Sunday. Help them enjoy the last days of summer, and just show yourself to them more than ever, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you, and sorry I went long, and sorry we did grape juice first, but it's a good day still. So, Lord bless you, and have a nice day.
Lifted the hand of God Almighty to part the waters and the sea. But it only took one little lie to separate you and me. Oh, we are not as strong.
thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. The mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.